This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on India's multifaceted approach to eradicate left-wing extremism. The participants are MP Nathaniel, former Inspector General CRPF, and Sundar Raj P, Inspector General of Police, Bastar Range, Chhattisgarh. Moderator is Rahul Tripathi, journalist.
Welcome to the program Current Affairs. Today we are discussing the shrinking landscape of Naxalism. In the last 10 years of the current government, there has been a severe decline in violence in left-wing extremist-affected states such as Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, Bihar, Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, among others. We are joined in by a distinguished guest in the studio today, former IGP CRPF, Mr. Nathaniel, and Mr. Sundar Raj P, who is IGP Chhattisgarh Police, Bastar Range. Let's begin our discussion. I would like to ask Sundar Raj sir if he can briefly explain when this movement started and where all it has spread and how is this going on? What is the current status?
The Naxal movement started in the year 1967 in West Bengal area. Later on it spread to Andhra Pradesh and other parts of the country. That time Chhattisgarh, it was part of undivided Madhya Pradesh. Bastar region, which is about 42,000 square kilometer area, it had like a lot of problems regarding connectivity issues. It is a dense forest and hilly terrain area. So Naxals, they tried to use this region as a safe hideout. During that point of time, there was no feudal system or there was no harassment of exploitation of the native population. But Naxals used this place as a safe abode for their illegal activity. And whenever there was such actions in Andhra Pradesh area, they tried to come and hide in this dense forest area of Chhattisgarh, Bastar region. Later on, they tried to expand their base, making compulsory recruitments. They misguided the local population, the youth in particular, in the name of Jal, Jamin, jungle issues. Once they made compulsory recruitment, then they tried to expand their base in Bastar region, which otherwise they call as Dandakarne Special Zone Committee area. Earlier, due to certain reasons like security vacuum area, administrative vacuum area, inaccessible terrain, and very dense foliage forest area, the response of the security forces was not that great to crush this movement in the initial stages only. But after the state was formed in year 2000, then the state came out with multi-pronged responses, both operational response as well as the developmental response. And in the years to come, the response of the state matured further. Particularly in the last couple of years, we had a very comprehensive program to address this left-wing extremism, and we have reached a decisive stage, and hopefully in the days to come, we'll be in a better position to resolve this problem.
Mr. Nathaniel, will you tell our listeners what has changed in the last 10 years that India's oldest internal security problem, which started in 1967 from Naxal Bari in West Bengal, is shrinking? And what is the roadmap to the government plans to end the Red Menace by March 31, 2026?
Earlier, the problem was that we could not penetrate into several places because of the harboring of Naxalites in those areas. And because they had a good rapport with the general public, they would get the information regarding arrival of forces within a short time, and they would flee from that particular post immediately. Whereas now the things have changed so much because of the connectivity, the forces are able to rush to the particular places where they are camping at the very shortest possible time. Earlier, the problem was because of the long distance involved for the security forces to go to the places where the Naxalites are hiding, to their hideouts. It took a long time for the forces to reach there. And even after carrying out operations, when they returned, they were targeted by the Maoists because they knew that the personnel of the security forces are generally exhausted and they will not be able to react the way they would do if they were fresh. So because of that, now the roads have been constructed. In fact, Border Road Organization was initially given the task of building the roads. But after some time they left and the contractors have thereafter been doing this work of constructing roads. And the roads are being constructed under the supervision and security of CRPF. The CRPF is doing a great job over there in the sense that they take care of the labor which is working in road construction. The CRPF boys, they set the time as to when they should come and when they should go so that the security aspect is not compromised. So because of that, the things have now come to such an extent that forces are able to reach the places within a short time and they are able to carry out operations very successfully.
Recently, PM Modi said that the Naxal-affected districts in the country has reduced from 125 to less than 20, which is actually 18 right now. Let's first listen to what Prime Minister Narendra Modi said on the decline of the Naxal-affected district. He was addressing an event of a private news channel in Delhi.
साथियों आप नक्सलवाद को भी देखिए देश के 125 से अधिक जिले नक्सलवाद की चपेट में हिंसा की चपेट में थे 125 डिस्ट्रिक्ट जहां से नक्सलवाद शुरू होता था वहां सरकार की बाउंड्री खत्म हो जाती थी बड़ी संख्या में नौजवान नक्सलवाद से पीड़ित थे हमने ऐसे नौजवानों को मुख्य धारा में लाने के लिए प्रयास बीते 10 वर्षों में 8,000 से अधिक नक्सलियों ने सरेंडर किया है हिंसा का रास्ता छोड़ा है आज नक्सल प्रभावित जिलों की संख्या भी 20 से कम रह गई है
What does this mean and which all states get impacted?
In fact, there are two states which have already said that they don't have any Naxal problem in their particular state.
Can you name the state?
That is Kerala and Karnataka. In fact, Karnataka was already thinking of disbanding the anti-Naxal force over there. But then I feel it would be too premature to do such a thing because it's only recently that they caught hold of the last Maoist in that area. So there's always a fear of their regrouping and coming again. And Kerala also, they have been able to wipe out Naxalism from their state. Though in Wayanad, there are some elements who could again regroup and create problems. So I would always insist that the forces should not be withdrawn. The forces should continue to be active in those areas so that the Naxals who have that ideology, who still want to create some problem, they are not able to regroup and create any problem. But in other places like Gadchiroli, there is some problem. In Maharashtra, the number of districts has reduced considerably. That is largely because of the operation carried out in all these places. Particularly in Chhattisgarh, there are more than 50 battalions of Central Armed Police Forces. And mainly it is the Cobra battalions which go in the interiors and they operate for days together. And once they establish contact, then they are able to kill the Naxals in encounters or make them surrender. Obviously in encounter they don't surrender, but usually they get killed in these operations.
Union Home Minister Amit Shah recently visited Chhattisgarh and appealed to Naxal to surrender, calling them Naxal brothers.
आज सभी जिनके हाथ में हथियार है वो और हथियार नहीं है वो सभी नक्सली भाइयों को विनंती करने आया हूँ आप हथियार डाल दीजिए मेनस्ट्रीम में आइए.
We have a report sent by Akashwani correspondent in Raipur, Vikalp Shukla.
Naxalism is now on its last legs in Chhattisgarh. The resolution taken by Union Home Minister Amit Shah to end Naxalism by March 2026 seems to be getting fulfilled before time in Chhattisgarh. The Bastar region of Chhattisgarh, which was once in the news due to Naxal violence, is now in the news due to its Bastar Olympics and Bastar Pandum. This change has come due to the multi-pronged strategy of the central and Chhattisgarh government. On the one hand, while a large number of security forces camps are being opened in the interior and Naxal-affected areas of Bastar, on the other hand, development is also taking place at a rapid pace in these areas. After the formation of the government in Chhattisgarh last year under the leadership of Chief Minister Vishnu Dev Sai, the Niyad Nilanar scheme was started with the aim of providing basic facilities and benefits of welfare projects to Naxal-affected villages. Niyad Nilanar means your good village. Similarly, the state's Deputy Chief Minister and Home Minister Vijay Sharma has announced that those panchayats of Bastar Division which will make the Maoist active in their area surrender and pass a proposal to be completely free from Maoism will be immediately sanctioned construction works worth up to 1 crore rupees.
मैंने बार बार कहा है कि कोई एक व्यक्ति भी चर्चा को तैयार हो तो हम उनके साथ भी तैयार एक व्यक्ति कहता है कि भाई मुझे सरेंडर करना है हम चर्चा करना चाहते हैं हम तैयार है दो व्यक्ति कहते हैं तो भी हम तैयार है कोई छोटा समूह चर्चा के लिए कहते हैं तो भी हम तैयार है कोई बड़ा समूह कहते हैं तो भी हम तैयार है माननीय नरेंद्र मोदी जी की सरकार है माननीय अमित शाह जी का आह्वान है विष्णुदेव साय जी का मार्गदर्शन है और उन्होंने भी कहा है और मैं व्यक्तिगत तौर पर भी इस बात को कहता हूं कि मैं हृदय से लगाकर मैं सीने से लगाकर और पूरा लाइफ सेटल होते तक ये सरकार खड़ी रहेगी।
लास्ट ईयर बस्तर ओलंपिक्स वॉज ऑर्गेनाइज इन बस्तर इन विच मोर देन 1,65,000 प्लेयर्स फ्रॉम ऑल द 7 डिस्ट्रिक्ट्स ऑफ दिस डिवीजन पार्टिसिपेटेड। फॉर्मर माओइस्ट हु सरेंडर्ड एंड जॉइंड द मेन स्ट्रीम ऑफ सोसाइटी ऑल्सो पार्टिसिपेटेड इन दिस बस्तर ओलंपिक्स। Few days ago, Bastar Pandum, that is Bastar Utsav, was organized. Its objective was to revive the rich tribal art and culture of Bastar and bring it in front of the country and the world. During this Bastar Pandum, events held at block, district and division level, competitions of 7 categories like dance, song, musical instruments, cuisine were organized, in which about 47,000 artists from more than 1,800 Gram Panchayats of Bastar Division participated. Events like Bastar Olympics and Bastar Pandum are telling the story of changing Bastar. The Chhattisgarh government has announced a new rehabilitation policy for surrendered Maoists and people affected by Naxal violence. The attractive provisions of this policy are motivating Maoists to leave Naxalism and join the mainstream of society. With the light of development reaching the Naxal-affected and interior areas of Bastar, the picture of this entire area is changing. Bastar, once known for its backwardness and Naxal terror, will soon make its special identity in the tourism map of the country and abroad.
We have a report sent by Akashwani correspondent in Nagpur, Dhananjay Wankhede.
Strategically situated between Maharashtra, Telangana and Chhattisgarh border, Gadchiroli is a mineral-rich and aspirational district. The Naxal movement in the interiors of forest in Gadchiroli used to become a stumbling block in the development, but in the last 10 years, the joint efforts by center and state to curb the menace of Naxalism has resulted into overall development of this tribal-dominated region. The Chief Minister of Maharashtra, Devendra Fadnavis, has actively taken the responsibility on his shoulder by accepting the Guardian Minister post for this district. In fact, he started this new year with a visit to Gadchiroli. 11 Maoists, including a senior leader, surrendered to Gadchiroli police on the occasion of the New Year in the presence of Chief Minister Devendra Fadnavis, who spent New Year's Day in the Gadchiroli district. Over the past 6 months, 27 hardcore Maoists have joined the mainstream. CM Fadnavis highlighted that the northern part of Gadchiroli has been freed from Maoism and efforts are ongoing to eliminate it from the southern region as well.
My next question is to Shilpi. Shilpi, could you tell us how long have you been watching this and what has changed in all these years?
In the last 10 years, if I speak, there has been considerable change in the LWE affected areas, as the number of districts which were affected with the Naxal problems has reduced to 1 as per the recent figures. Earlier, when we used to speak about Jharkhand, people or tourists or many people from different parts of the country, they did not want to move about in the remote areas of the state. But the problem has come down. And in my own experience, which I can say, in the year 2016, when I had visited West Singhbhum, there were many problems with the road connectivity. But currently, the only district which is LWE affected as of the figures released by Ministry of Home Affairs, the road connectivity has improved considerably. The government has been working on the 3C factors of road connectivity, mobile connectivity and financial connectivity. And the downfall of Naxalism or Maoism has come down. There are 4 more districts which are such districts which need some focus currently, as the CRPF and IG operations are already going on. But the incidents have come down to very low. I think one of the biggest achievements was the enforcement of forces at Budha Pahad in Latehar district, where the Naxals were removed and the whole area was dominated by the security forces. And they had improved the connectivity, the development area.
Mr. Nathaniel, do you feel that there is a leadership vacuum because most of their leaders which were there in the old time have either died due to illness or got caught or surrendered or arrested? So do you feel that there is vacuum at the leadership level of this old movement which started from Naxalbari?
I agree that there's definitely a vacuum created as far as the leadership is concerned. In fact, in recent months, what happened was that some leaders who were confined to the jungles, they could not come out of the jungles because they were surrounded by the security forces. And despite their being seriously ill, they could not come out for treatment in the hospitals, and so they died in their own places. So, and they were all top leaders, aged about 70, 73, like that. And of late also, recently, one lady who was the media head of Maoist, she was killed in an operation. So like that, now there are only two guys in Chhattisgarh. One is Hidma and the other fellow is Barse. Each of them carries about 1 crore reward. And once these two guys are apprehended or killed, I think it will be a total wipeout of Maoist from that state of Chhattisgarh. Of course, one initiative that the government can take is to ask him to surrender along with his men. Because when a leader surrenders, he comes along with all his men, maybe 100, 200. As of now, about 300 of them are still hanging around in the state of Chhattisgarh. So I feel if feelers are sent out to Hidma and Barse, they can come out. They may be taken in security forces or given some other job. But even if they are in security forces, they can be given a decent post, which may be non-gazetted, and they can be settled along with those 100, 200 men. Because when a leader comes, we have the great advantage of him bringing hundreds of them in one go itself. And once that is done, I think Mao's problem will be totally out of Chhattisgarh.
My next question is to Mr. Sundar Raj. We have seen a very high killings in past 2 years of local cadres, local Naxals. So how do you ensure that no innocent are being killed? And what is the process of ensuring that the family receive the right compensation in case anything wrong has happened?
We have a very comprehensive strategy to tackle this left-wing extremism in Bastar region. Out of this strategy, the first and foremost thing is the operational strategy. So we conduct effective operation in the interior area as well as in the inter-district as well as interstate border area. During this operation, we ensure the entire operation is carried out in a transparent and professional manner. Our security forces are well trained in the jungle warfare colleges as well as other training institutions. So whenever they go out for an operation, they ensure there is zero civilian casualty. But at times, by chance, if anything untoward happens, then we are very transparent in our follow-up action also. We come up with the real facts and figure, and we have a compensation policy for the victims of Naxal violence. If any civilian get killed in a crossfire, then we provide them with the monetary assistance as well as a compassionate appointment for the next of kin and kith of the victim of Naxal violence. In the last 1.5 years, we have recorded dead bodies of more than 350 Naxal cadres. Most of them are senior level Naxal cadres belonging to Dandakani Special Zone Committee, Telangana State Committee, other divisional committee and PLGA formations. And we have recovered like Lokmani, graded weapons like AK-47, SLR, INSAS, LMG and other so weapons. So all these operations are very conducted as per the rules. So there has been no allegations against the security forces with regard to the operations which you have conducted in the recent months.
Mr. Nathaniel, now I would like to ask you, what is this roadmap about 2026, March 31st, which the government, which the Home Ministry has decided to end? Because these are concerned, still there are 4 or 5 states where these people are present there. They have decent presence. And what is this word urban Naxal, which often we hear? Can you explain to our listeners?
In fact, this urban Naxal, these two words have come out just because some people who were in the urban areas, they had sympathies with the Naxalites. And because of their sympathies, some of them may have been even helping the Naxals. In fact, when I was IG of Jharkhand, we caught some of the fellows from Ranchi city itself. So they are the guys who are, some of them are very active Maoists, and some of them are just sleeper cells who are not very active, but still they support in other ways, like financially supporting them or ideologically supporting them. So this word and urban Naxals has cropped up because of that. And I think with passage of time, that also will vanish. Because once the people who are in the jungles, they surrender or they are killed, then the urban Naxals will not be able to really do much or survive also.
Mr. Nathaniel, I would like to also bring in here the policy which was changed in 2015, the national policy towards combating LWE. If you can tell us something more about it, like how the government started focusing, and earlier there was lack of funds, there was no roads, and even for forces to fly their men if they are injured, there were no choppers. So how that has changed, if you can briefly explain to our listeners.
In fact, the best initiative was having the roads constructed, which was started quite about a decade back. And initially the BRO, which is Border Road Organization under the Ministry of Defense, their assistance was sought. And they did a good job by constructing roads in certain places. But thereafter, once they left, the contractors took over, and these contractors were given the security by CRPF. But in addition to that, the choppers have been a very big asset for the security forces. Because once a Jawan gets injured, he is just left to fend for himself with no treatment whatsoever available nearby. So with the availability of choppers, the advantage is that they are able to shift the patients who are injured to the nearby hospitals. Mainly they are taken to Raipur, where they are given the best of treatment and their recovery process becomes speedier. So that was a very big advantage we have. And the other thing was that we penetrated into Abujmand area. That was actually their gad before the forces penetrated there. About 200 FOBs were established.
What are these FOBs, if you can tell our listeners briefly?
These are forward of operating bases from where the troops set out for operations in nearby areas. Like that, when there are 200 FOBs, the personnel load there in these camps, they need not walk too long a distance.
And this has started after 2019.
Yes. So because of that, there has been great successes achieved, and that is yielding results. Because now they do not get the public support in Abujmand, because the forces are there. The public also is now siding with the forces. The forces are giving them education, giving them mobile connectivity. Mobile towers also have come up in these places. Then the road connectivity is there. The buses are now plying. The people have the access to cities now for healthcare. Also, the CRPF is helping. We have our doctors looking after the patients in the villages also. So all these multi-pronged action taken by the government, it is definitely yielding results. And though the Home Minister has said that by March 31st next year, we should have Maoist-free country, I think much before that, this matter will be solved. Maybe by December 31st, there will be end to this Maoist menace in this country.
Recently, the Home Minister visited Chhattisgarh and held a review, and after which he announced rupees 1 crore to every panchayat, which brings its Maoists to surrender. How do you think is this going to be taken?
Now, with this, the responsibility falls on the panchayat, the sarpanch and others, to ensure that nobody joins the ranks of Maoists, because they are also still trying to recruit boys. Recently, about 15-20 days back, they had recruited some young boys, about 100 to 150. Some of them just minor boys of the age of 12-13 also. So that can be stopped when the sarpanchs are given this responsibility. Plus, they will try to persuade through the families living in their villages, persuade the Maoists to come over and enjoy the facilities the government is extending to them.
So I would like to know why there has been a surge in the past, particularly in the last 2 years, mostly in the state of Chhattisgarh, close to over 100 Naxals have been killed. And if you can tell, what is this TCOC, which is declared from their side during a particular period?
TCOC is a tactical strategy adopted by the Maoists to attack the security forces during these days, because the visibility is clear and they can attack and they can vanish in the villages. The
what is this
also.
Period that you referred, particularly in
between
in
March and July? So during this period, they will try to attack the forces. But now that they are themselves on the back foot, the possibility of their attacking the security forces are remote. So the only alternative left with them now is to go in for planting IEDs on the routes where the security forces are plying. So the forces have to be more careful now, because they will definitely use IEDs. And if you see the figures, last year there were about 43 incidents of IED blast. And this year, between in the first 3 months itself, it is about 23. So that shows that they are now increasingly resorting to IEDs. Even in Jharkhand recently, one of the sub-inspectors of CRPF was killed because of the IED blast.
So I'll come to my next question. Have you noticed foreign hands in this insurgency over a period of time? and what are these hands? Because sometimes we see such reports that China is involved, LTT was involved. So what has been your experiences?
In fact, to say that foreign hand was there, normally what we say is wherever there's terrorism, there are four things required. One is popular support, the one is leadership, one is ideology, and the fourth is foreign support. So these four things are the fertile ground for insurgents to grow. So as far as Maoism is concerned, of course, it was getting support from China initially, and thereafter they have gained that strength to operate on their own. But of late, because of the crisis in Bangladesh, we can also hope that the ISIS also will play its role in furthering this Maoist situation in certain places. But I don't think they'll be able to succeed because of our intelligence gathering, which is quite robust now.
So what do you think should be our strategy to counter that attempt, even if it is being made?
We need to gear up our intelligence system. And of course, our intelligence is quite robust that way. They will be able to gather any information in case the ISIS is also trying to do something in this.
Do you ever felt that there is a support for them in Nepal?
Nepal, of course, because earlier the Communist Party of Nepal, they were creating problems in Nepal. And subsequently, they came out and formed the government also. So maybe that may be taken as a lesson for the Maoists in our country, that if they could succeed in Nepal, why not succeed here? But the situation here is totally different. That's a small country where they could manage, but not here definitely.
Mr. Sundaraj P., I would like to ask you further about this surrender cum rehabilitation policy. This has been under works for a while. And when I visited Chhattisgarh, I was informed that it will be announced soon, and it was announced recently. If you can tell us more about this policy and what happens once a Naxalite surrenders or they surrender in group, what do you do with the crime which they have committed? What is the parrot that you bring to rehabilitate him, or whether you'd send him to jail, or when the crime is heinous, what measures are you taking? How do you bring him back into the society?
Chhattisgarh has a very attractive surrender and rehabilitation policy. In the year 2025 March, we have revised that policy and we came up with a lot more new provisions. According to the revised policy, the Naxal cadre who are coming forward to surrender before the state, they will be given immediate monetary assistance of 50,000 rupees, and followed by that, we give them skill development training so that they can lead a normal, peaceful life of their choice, like in their native place or else any other secure place. And we have provision to provide them house. We have provision to give them ration card, other provisionings. If any Naxal cadre has been subjected to vasectomy surgery in the Naxal formation, then we conduct reverse vasectomy so that they can have a family life and they can have children. And according to the new surrender policy, if the Naxal formations, they're coming for a group surrender, then the compensation money, yeah, the rehabilitation money, it will be given twofold, so that that money could be used for proper rehabilitation also. And we have another attractive provision in the policy. The cases registered against this surrender cadres, that will be examined by a committee. And if the committee feels so, the cases against the surrender cadres would be withdrawn from prosecution so that they need not undergo the prosecution and other like punishment. So all these provisions are very attractive, and we have a lot of cadres who are coming forth to surrender the recent days.
As we end this discussion, I want to thank all my guests, including former IG, MP Nathaniel, and Bastar Range IGP, Sundaraj PG. Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's multifaceted approach to eradicate left-wing extremism. The participants were MP Nathaniel, former Inspector General CRPF, and Sundaraj P, Inspector General of Police, Bastar Range, Chhattisgarh. Moderator was Rahul Tripathi, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.